Zuck the Mishnah. Mishnah, Lamed, Hey, Amid Beis. Hachaylitzli Eventai. Somebody does Chalitza Tiz Yivama, the Nimtzis Muberes, and they found her to be Muberes. Right? It's talking about during the 3 months, it was Loi Hukur Ubra. There was no way to know whether she was pregnant or not. He had no patience, or whatever other reason he decided to give Chalitza. And the Mepharshim speak out, interestingly enough, why is he giving Chalitza? He's really the recipient of Chalitza. It should be Hachaletzis Liyavama. She gives Chalitza to him, yet the Mishnah expresses it as Hachaletz Liyaventai, one who gives Chalitza to his Yavama. It should be the opposite. She's giving Chalitza to him, she takes his shoe off and spits, as we will learn in the 12th Perik, all the details of how Chalitza is done. So the Mepharshim speak out that he has to intend to be matter her through this act. He needs to intend that this act is going to free her. And therefore, I don't know if that's ma'akev or not, by the way, and therefore it uses the word achaylites, because he's freeing her. Even though she's doing the act, she is not freeing herself. He is freeing her by letting her do this act and intending to free her with this. So therefore the Mishnah uses the word Hachaylitz Liyaventai. Anyway, Hachaylitz Liyaventai v'nimtzis muberes, and she's found to be pregnant, v'yold, and she gave birth. B'zman shavlatcho kayama, when the baby is a viable baby, hu mutar b'kiruv yitzeha, he is, so that means she didn't need Chalitza, because the brother didn't leave offspring, so therefore, hu mutar b'kiruv yitzeha, so we don't view her as a Chalutza. The Isuri, Rabbinic Isurim, that come upon a Chalutza, do not apply to her. So, who Mutar B'Kreva Sev, he Mutar is B'Kreva. He is Mutar and her relatives, and she is Mutar and his relatives. V'loi Pasla Min HaKahuna. And, she is not Pasla from Kahuna, because the Chalutza doesn't count, and we say that she is not a Chalutza, and she can marry, she's a regular widow, and as a widow, she can marry a Kayan. Rashi, HaChalitz, who Mutar B'Kreva Sev, the Lav Chalitzi, Halibaya, it wasn't necessary. Prevesaha, 1 second. Hold 1 second. Hello. Thank you so much. Thank you. There's no school for him probably today anyway. You're going to get a call soon because of the snow. But I'm happy. Anyway, I'm happy. And it makes a difference in the future, in the next tomorrow. So thank you very much. Javer for Shalem. Bye-bye. So Rashi Kriv Sar Kriva Mefarish Lakama Bemasnisen Hanach the Nesaris Ala Ish Machmas Ishtai. These are the ones that become usher on a man because of his wife, right? Because what do we mean her relatives? The answer is her relatives mean those that married her biblically, Chalitza usher's rabbinically. Now that we say that the Chalitza wasn't necessary, so therefore, he's mutter in those relatives. And the same relatives that she can't marry because of her husband, let's say his maternal brother, right? Which would be she would be able to marry, but since he did the chalitza, it's the brother of her, the one who gave her chalitza, so she's not allowed to marry because we view chalitza as like a rabbinic marriage, and then it's not a marriage. It has asas the erva as if she were married. That's rabbinically. So therefore, over here, with a non-chalitza, so she is mutter. Back to the Mishnah. Ein avlacho kayama. The baby doesn't make it. Zuck Rashi, shoya nefo. That the baby with a nefo. I have water, Baruch Moshe, don't worry. Ein avlacho kayama. Who wants to be kreva? Seha v'yasur b'kreva. He is usher and her relatives that chalitza was a good chalitza. Well, we'll see in the Gemara whether the chalitza was really a good chalitza or not. We'll see in the Gemara. But who wants to be kreva? Seha v'yasur b'kreva. And she is Pasul Minakuna. The Gemara will discuss this at length. Hakainis is Yavamtai. Somebody who marries his Yavama Benimtis Muberes. He marries his Yavama, and we find out afterwards that she was pregnant from husband number one. Which means this is a problem. He lived with his brother's wife, and she might not need Yibum, as we will find out as we go along in the Mishnah. Bivancha Vacha Kayama. If the baby is a viable baby, yaitzi, he has to get rid of her. Now they lived b'shagig, right? They lived b'shagig, and therefore, since they lived b'shagig, they bring a carbon. He didn't intend to do an iser. He didn't think she was pregnant, and therefore, he shouldn't have done it, but he did it by mistake. And they bring a carbon chatas, because it ends up that he lived with his brother's wife, where there's no mitzvah. The main vacho kayama, yikayim, that he can stay with her because she's eligible for yibum. Rashi, he may not vacho kayama try and nefo, but kayama the carbon, shabal, eshes, achshle, the mukha mitzvah. He lived with his brother's wife where there's no mitzvah. Now, before we move on, the mafarshim speak out that this is because it's during the first 3 months. Had this been after 3 months and she's not pregnant, visibly pregnant, the Gemara says that a woman, after 3 months, is nikhukar ubra. Her fetus becomes recognizable, meaning she knows she's pregnant at that point. Now, but again, I just want to point this out so we should put this, you know, off the discussion table. And that is, today, we pretty much know a woman is pregnant much earlier than 3 months. A, we have pregnancy tests. But B, the woman stops seeing dam right away in most cases. In the time of the Gemara, she was not a Musulekas Damim till after 3 months. Her periods continued to after 3 months. Ramesha writes in the Tshuva that it's Nishtana Teva. Now, this is one of the things that the Teva changed. Today, women, by and large, overwhelmingly, don't have periods once they're pregnant. In the time of the Gemara, periods were common to end the month number 3. So it was very possible that a woman had no idea she was pregnant for the first 3 months. So therefore, the reason she's a shaygig here is because it's during the 3 months. She should have thought, maybe I am pregnant. And therefore, if it ends up that she was pregnant with a vacho kayama, they did an iser. And they did an iser, it's a shaygig, and they're chayv a carbon. However, if it's after 3 months, and there's no hukar obra, so then we can say, pretty much, pretty sure that she's not pregnant. And then we find out she was, which is very out of the ordinary. The Mepharshim say she wouldn't be considered a shaygig, she would be considered an inus. Beyond shaygig. That's not a mistake. That was, she was in her 4th month. She had no sign of pregnancy. It's very rare, but it could happen. So therefore, the Mepharshim speak out during the first 3 months, she's considered a shaygig. She did the wrong thing, but it did it b'shagig. She had no intention of violating any Yisra and Shisach, and neither did he. They thought she was eligible for Yisra. After 3 months, we wouldn't even consider her a shagig. They say we would consider it an inus, because at that point, she should know whether she's pregnant or not, and if she doesn't, it's out of the ordinary, beyond shagig. But in those days, as I mentioned before, a woman, Gemara needs this clear. A woman was not Masulekas Damim till after 3 months. It was normal for women to have periods till 3 months into pregnancy. It's one of the interesting, to me, fascinating. In Halacha, that's brought that a woman is not Masulekas Damim for 3 months. That's how it's passed in Shulchan Aruch. Right? That's how Shulchan Aruch passes. Rabbi Kivager in the Tshuva refers to a woman as not being Musulekas Damim after 3 months. Rabbi Moshe writes, Nishtana Teva, that today, the Nafkamina would be after. Who can't get in?
What number you would die? The one that's on the test?
I'm on. There's people on. The people on.
The people are on. It's working. Sitting here. People are asked, are there people on?
Anybody on the phone?
I'm on. Yeah, I'm on. You? I'm on. There's a bunch of people on.
Yeah,
oh, a bunch of people on.
Yeah.
I'm also on the phone.
Dialing the right number.
Yeah, probably not dialing the right number. Who was that?
Or using the right
always
code.
Every day. I don't know. Okay, anyway. So Moshe writes Nishtana Teva. Now, to me, it would be if a woman has a Yom HaChodesh that she has to worry about vest, right? She has a vest kavua. So she would have to worry 3 months and now she knows she's pregnant. So in halacha it's brought that she would have to be chashish because for 3 months she's not mesulak hadamim, her blood still comes. But Maitre writes, Nishtana Teva, once a woman knows she's pregnant today, she doesn't have to worry about anything. The Gemara says 3 months, he says Nishtana Teva. Interesting, Nishtana Teva from Rebbe Kivager's time. Meaning, he knows that Rebbe Kivager, Maitre, you know, he knew that Rebbe Kivager. But he says, this is the way it is today. Women are going to see Dam. Okay, but back to our Mishnah, that's why it's talking about during 3 months, because during 3 months, most women had no idea whether they were pregnant or not. And therefore, she's a shagig. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. What if we don't know whether the baby is from the first husband or the second one, meaning he did Yibum, during the 3 months, the baby is born within the seventh month of Yibum. In those days, and again, this is clearly Nishtana Teva, in those days there were two track pregnancies. There was the 7 month pregnancy and the 9 month pregnancy. The 7 month pregnancy could come to a full baby between the beginning of the end of month six till the end of month seven, sometime during that month. The 9 month pregnancy was a slower development of the baby, and the baby developed fully at the end of 9 months. The Gemara talks a baby that's born during the 8th month as a non-viable baby. That's how the Gemara describes it, because it's a 9 month baby that did not fully develop. And it's impossible for the 8th month baby to survive. Now, let me just finish. The 7th month baby was a different track. That baby, developed at a faster rate, developed fully during 7 months. That's how it used to work in those days. Today, it's not true. Today, clearly, the longer a woman is pregnant, the greater the chances of the viability of the son. An 8th month baby does better than a 7th month baby. And a 7 month baby does better than a 6 month baby, and so it is. So that two-track pregnancy, the Mefarshim all say, Nishtana Teva. Used to be one way, and then the Rabbanim Shalom changed how the world works, as he did in many other cases, and therefore this halacha doesn't really apply today. However, it could apply because the woman didn't know she was pregnant, lived with her Yabam after month one, let's say, to month two, had a baby 7 months later. It could be either 9 from her first or 7 from her second. She has no idea. She has no idea. So therefore, Dr. Mishnah, Sabek Ben Tisha L'Rishim, Sabek Ben Lishim L'Achim, Yaitzi. You can't stay married to her because perhaps she had a baby from the first husband. And if she did, he's not allowed to live with her. Vavad Kusher. However, the baby's for sure Kusher. Either he's a kosher baby to number one or a kosher baby to number two. Not a mamzer, because if he was born from number one, he's a fine. If he's born from number two, it was a kosher yibum. We can't let them live together because we don't know whether she's eligible for yibum, but the baby is 100% fine. What?
That's her to call him up for Aliyah.
Right, they don't know how to call him up for Aliyah. Correct. The chayavim, they won't call him up. Ben Reuben, I Ben Shimon. No, they're not going to do this. The chayavim, Vashem Tali. And they're chayiv ashen toli for living together, because we don't know. Ashen toli is when you don't know whether one violated a chatas or not. They're bringing ashen toli. That's what they do over here. Rashi, havat kasher, the manoshek. Either way, the baby is kasher.
In terms of Yerusha, what happens to the Yerusha if you...
Yerusha, well, this is going to be a sugi later on, because what happens now is the brothers... One brother, let's say, is arguing with his baby. I mean, the baby grows up. The baby claims, I am the son of the first husband, and I yarshed him completely. The brother says, you're my son, and I yarshed my brother, because I did Yibum, and you are my son, and you have to wait in line to what happens to me. This is going to be a sugi in the Gemara, because we have a very legitimate argument here. Now, neither knows what they're talking about. The baby can't know that he's the son of the first one, and the brother can't know that he's not. But they're all laying claim to this Yerusha. Reuben might have had $1 million in the bank. Now this son is born, and we don't know if he's Reuben's or Shimon's. Shimon is claiming, he's my son, and therefore I'm entitled to $1 million as a Yavam. And Reuben is claiming that, no, Not Reuben. Reuben, the baby is claiming the one who's born. I'm Reuben's son, and I'm entitled to $1 million, and Shimon is out of here. The Gemara will deal with this case. This will be a case that comes up in the Gemara. This is a legitimate case, a discussion in the Gemara. What we do in that kind of a case.
Today we have paternity tests.
Today we have paternity tests, which we might use for ebook. This is a very sticky subject. It's a very sticky subject. We are willing to use DNA to determine if a person, Rahmana Lutzman, was nifter. In 9/11, when they had all those questions of igunites, because nobody knew whether the husband died or not. They assumed so, but they don't. So they used DNA to identify people, and they were matter their willites to get married. However, in halacha, we don't rely on DNA for paternity. The reason for that is, well, they have a halachic reason for it, but the real reason behind it is that we don't want people to find out that they're mamzerim. Because if people take paternity tests and they're not the son of the one who claims to be their father, it'll open up a can of worms. So we don't rely on paternity tests to determine paternity. Now, it's based on a halachic thing, and again, I don't know this is what I was told, that the DNA is not as accurate in a paternity as it is about the person themselves. And therefore, we will rely on DNA for a person themselves, because that is considered a birur. Whereas for the parents, it's not 100% birur, and therefore, to make mamzerus, we're not willing to do that. Now, for Yerusha, could be we do, I don't know. Look to Mishnah Bait. Look to Gemara Bait. Bitmar. Hacholitz numubaras vihipila. A woman was pregnant, and somebody gave her chalitza. The brother gave her chalitza. And then she had a miscarriage. Is this chalitza good or not? At the time she was pregnant, she didn't need chalitza. At least, there's a good chance that she wouldn't need chalitza. But now, the baby was not a viable baby. So now she needs chalitza, but she had chalitza.
There's shots in the field like we have before. Relationships?
No, because this is not an iser. If that would happen, then every woman would be asking to give him chalitza, because if her sister is 3 months, nothing should happen. That's an iser. That's not called usher. She's eligible.
This is a
bad iser. Again, let me step back. If Baruch Moshe is right that b'shas nefila she wasn't mutter, again, that every woman who we don't know if she's pregnant or not would be asked to b'shas nefila. We say that a woman is not allowed to do chalitza or yibum during the first 3 months. We don't want her to do chalitza or yibum because we don't know if she's pregnant, right?
But that because she might be mafila. I mean, she might be having nato.
Again, the reason we don't want chalitza or yibum during the first 3 months, forget anything else. Ruby dies.
To suffix.
But she's not, she's usher, right?
What if she's vadai muberis and she's nato right away?
So if it's not a viable baby, she ends up retroactively needing Yibum. The guy did not leave a viable baby.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Okay.
The guy did not leave
so
a viable baby.
Like once she's mutter, unless she's usher to him, he remains usher to him.
She's not usher to him yet, because till the baby is viable, she's not an Eishes Hashiyas LeBonim. Bonim has to be a viable child. Pregnancy is not a viable child. Chances are it will turn into a viable child. But that's not, it's not here now. But at the same time, we can't let Yibum because it might be a viable child. And if it's a viable child, then he left over a child. Somebody gave chalitza to a mubaras, and then she miscarried. So now she's eligible for Yibum. She was always eligible for Yibum retroactively because she didn't have a viable child.
So we didn't know she was pregnant, right?
He did not know. Let's say she, in this case, even if we knew she was pregnant.
So why is
she gave her chalitza.
Okay.
The Bekenen says the chalitza was good. At the end of the day, the guy died, he had no children, his wife got chalitza, he's good to go.
Even if they knew that she was pregnant.
Exactly. Reb Shlakish Amet Shlichin Chalitza Menachem. Reb Shlakish says she needs Chalitza for the brothers. Meaning, Chalitza was not good. Now, it says Menachem is a big machlokes Rishayim. Seems to say Chalitza from the other brothers. Most Rishayim say the guy himself can give her Chalitza a second time. His Chalitza wasn't good, he can give her Chalitza now. It says Menachem just to say from any brother. The Rush learns that it has to be somebody else if there's somebody else around. Because of the sugya we had in the third parak called Chalitza Psula, that if the Zika is weaker to one than the others, remember rabbinically, so the Rush says, since he gave her Chalitza, even though it wasn't good, but Lamaite gave her the act of Chalitza, so we want somebody else to give the Chalitza. But most Rishayim Lori Chalitza Menachem means...
Gemara there doesn't bring this as...
No, not at all. Doesn't get involved. Rashi ain't a Chalitza Menachem, that Chalitza, ma'al yasi. This was a good Chalitza.
Rabbi.
Back to the Gemara. Why? Chalitza is Chalitza. A Chalitza to Mubarish is called Chalitza. Ubiyas Mubarish Mabia. As Rabbi Eichner will say, that if the guy lived with her and then she ends up miscarrying, he did Yibum. He didn't hit her. He wasn't supposed to live with her when she was pregnant. But now she miscarried. That means the brother did not leave a viable child. That means she's eligible for Yibum. He did Yibum. He did Yibum. Shlakish HaMetzvicha Chalitza Menachem. Chalitza's Mubarish Shlakish HaMachalitza. According to most Rishayim, Reb Shlakish holds biblically. Ubiyas Mubarish Shlakish HaMabiyah. And if he lived with her, it would not be considered Yibum. It would be, this is a tough one, we'll see as we go to Gemara. It's not Yibum. Even though it ends up miscarrying, it's not Yibum. Probably not. It's a very fair swara. We'll get to it in a few moments. That's Rashi. Excuse me. Either he did it be amazed or he didn't know. Give me either one. Meaning, in the case that he knew it wouldn't be a chatas, in the case he didn't know it would be a chatas.
So when we're saying Mubarak here, we're only saying Mubarak that we know after
it. Correct. It could be, I said it could be either way. Rashi, Shema Chalitza, Hecha de Bila de Gloy Milsa de Bas Chalitza. It shows us that you are those with Chalitza.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi? Is the essence of this disagreement here whether or not an action you perform on something that's not eligible for the action itself? If you give me
10 lines or 8 lines, if the question still pertains, please ask it. It might be that the Gemara avoids your question.
All right.
Back to Gemara, the Micah Mifligi. What does this Machlokes depend on? Iboy Zay Mikra, it might be had a Darsh and a Pasuk. Iboy Zay Mitzvara, it might be a Svara. Iboy Zay Mitzvara, Reb Yechon and Savar, Im Yobi Liyol V'yaymar, Tahodi Abri Mapula Mapala, Mila Bat Chalitza V'yibim Hi, Hashtanami Tigli Muslim Afreya. Reb Yechon says like this. If we would be able to know, if we would have a crystal ball, Lahavdu Elav Alfi Abdullah is a crystal ball. But if Elio Anovi would come and say, this pregnancy is a non-viable pregnancy. It's going nowhere. So at this point we would say she's eligible for Yibum Chalitza. He didn't leave a child. She's carrying something, but it's not a child. It's not a viable child. Elio told us, it's not happening. Now, Elio didn't come and tell us. But now we know that it wasn't a non-viable child. So at that point, really? She's eligible for Chalitza Yibum. We didn't know. But had we known then, we would have said she's eligible for Chalitza Yibum. It was a lack of knowledge on our part. This woman either has a viable child or doesn't have a viable child. Stay tuned. We stayed tuned, and it wasn't a viable child. So at the end of the day, did the husband leave a viable child? No. So the moment of his death, he died without a viable child. We didn't know that because his wife was carrying a baby. And we had no idea whether that baby was viable or not. And Elio Anavi told us, you should know this woman is carrying a non-viable baby. So right away we would have said, lady, you're mutavrel, you chalitza yibum. Because it's not viable. He didn't leave a baby. It's a lack of our knowledge, not a lack of her eligibility. She's eligible. We just didn't know she was eligible. That's Rabbi Yechinen Svar. It makes a lot of sense. Reuven died. The halacha is, if he leaves a viable baby, there's no mitzvah of chalitza yibum, and it's an isra of yibum. If he doesn't leave a viable baby, then there's a mitzvah of chalitza yibum. Now, we don't know, because this woman is pregnant. Now we know that she was not a viable baby. You have to give me one more minute. We don't say it's retroactive, but the Mefarshim explained, Rish Lakish says, the baby might have been viable and became non-viable later. And therefore, it's not true. It's not true that if a woman ends up miscarrying, it was never a viable baby. It's not true. Now, it's true that once she miscarries, we say she's eligible for Yibum, because the baby never became viable. But we can't say while she was carrying, it wasn't headed for a viable baby. It might have been at that point headed for a viable baby that became non-viable, which retroactively says he didn't leave she's eligible for Yibum. But at the time she was pregnant, even though the Yohanavi came and told us, right? I mean, let's say it this way. Even if Eliyahu would come and say, ultimately she'll miscarry, that doesn't mean now it's not viable. Eliyahu is predicting that something will happen, she'll contact the illness, something will happen, she'll fall down and hurt herself, and the baby will become non-viable. We have to look at the moment of birth. The birth never happened. But that doesn't mean she wasn't headed that way. So how can you say, retroactively, she was eligible? At that point, she wasn't eligible. That's the svar of Rish Lakish. Yes, Harvey. Now, if you still, this is what I wanted to get to.
This is close to what I was asking, but I'm trying to think of other examples where the first position where Rabbi Yochanan would apply. I always kind of default to the sukkahs. If I'm in a sukkah, and that's it. If someone gives me their lulav, and I do the bracha and everything like that, and later I find out that lulav was stolen, have I fulfilled the mitzvah of lulav?
No. Most definitely not. Most definitely not. That's because it was stolen at that time.
Right, right. If I thought it was stolen, and I said the bracha, and then it turns out later that it wasn't stolen, I said the words at the time, and I, even though I thought it was stolen, I thought I wasn't. My examples are. This is very close to what I was asking. I just I'm trying to think of other examples.
Be the case. Let's say we found out that she never was carrying a baby. She was carrying called an air sac. It wasn't a baby at any point. Which I understand is possible. There are women that are pregnant and there's really no baby. They think they're pregnant, but then they miscarry a non-entity. The Gemara calls it Ruach Hibila. But it happens even today, I know for a fact. So there Rish Lakish would agree. Because according to this Svar, the way they explained it, Rish Lakish is saying at the time, the baby might have been viable. Well, there was no baby.
Why isn't that a non-viable baby? It had it, you know, it's...
I'm sorry?
Non-viable baby. That's a non-viable baby.
There was no embryo.
It's not a baby. It never formed. Shlokish Svar, according to that way that Mefarshim explained it, is the fact that she miscarried later doesn't tell us that at the time the chalitza or the yibum was done, that the baby wasn't viable. It could have been at that point it was headed to a viable baby, and she wasn't eligible for chalitza yibum at that point. Later on, she hurt herself. She fell. She miscarried. Or she got a disease, Rahman al-Islam, and she miscarried.
Sounds like they're arguing in what is viable means.
No, I think they're arguing whether you assume that a baby that's not viable was not viable the whole time or not. That seems to be the machlokes, according to the way Mefarshim explained it. So if she ends up miscarrying, this baby was never meant to be a baby, and therefore the chalitza yibum are good. And Rish Lakish, in Svara, that's not true. That's how the Mepharshim explained it.
Am I written? Is viability at the moment of birth or longer?
Sorry?
Is viability at the moment of birth, or it has to be 30 days or something like that?
It only has to be 30 days if we don't know that the baby is healthy. A healthy baby, this is going to be discussed later on, but a healthy baby at birth potters the mother. If the baby is sickly, we have to wait 30 days.
Rabbi, at the beginning of the shir, you mentioned that that chalitza is actually performed by the lady, even though it's. So let's just assume she knew she was pregnant, and that pregnancy did not turn out, nothing became of it. For one reason or another, she had an accident, something happened to her, whatever it is, she miscarried just because she did. What is the meaning of words said when the, I don't know if you call this a bracha, whatever she says, what is the meaning of this ritual that she goes through that is not valid at the time she says it? So is this the essence of what we're talking about here? If you do something here halakhically, that at the time you say it, it is, the conditions are not appropriate for this thing, but later they become appropriate. One says that it's valid retroactively, and the other says it isn't. Is that the essence of what we're asking here?
Let me change it a little bit. It later becomes apparent that retroactively it was good.
But that's not true here.
Because now we know that what she was carrying was a non-viable baby and therefore was eligible for chalitza. We just didn't know that.
The Rebbe
is saying if she didn't come to a birth, to a healthy birth, that means she wasn't really pregnant with a viable baby.
She might have fallen off a wagon. Someone might have struck her.
And this is the point where Shlokas and Rabbi Yochanan disagree. For Rabbi Yochanan, a baby that doesn't end up in a birth, it's considered non-viable retroactively, halakhically.
Okay.
It never ended up in a birth.
So, my last question. What if the baby was 5 months instead of 2 months?
I don't think it makes a difference.
So we still say the baby wasn't viable.
So the Yohanan Navi tells us, you should know, the baby that she's carrying will never be born. He's predicting the future. The Yohanan Navi knows the future. He comes and he says, Rabbi Tzai, this woman is pregnant. She'll never have a live birth. It won't be a live birth. At this moment, is she now eligible for chalitza or yibum? Rabbi Yochanan says, yes. We know it's not going to be a live birth. Rish Lakish says, all Elio was telling me it's not going to end up that way. That doesn't mean at this point the baby is not a healthy baby. And if it is, she's not eligible for Elio to Yibu.
Okay.
Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, at the end of the day, this is not going to be a live birth. Elio told us.
I understand now. It's completely outcome determinative. Eliyahu HaNavi would say this child will not be. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter when.
That's what Rish Lakish is saying. That is not true. Eliyahu can tell you that this baby will not be. That doesn't mean the baby is not now.
Okay.
And therefore, we have to wait it out. That seems to be the argument if you learn it's a Svara argument.
Is there a requirement on the Yavam that he performs a Yibum that can produce a baby? Like we do like an islandist? Like if he goes here, she can't become pregnant again. I mean, this Yibum should not be a valid Yibum because it can't end up into producing a child. Like by an islandist, we say that.
Islandist is missing body parts.
Yeah, but
he can be 94 and she can be 93 and there's a mitzvah hebo. I promise you she's not getting pregnant. She's not sorry menu. And he's not a Avraham Avinu.
Yeah. That's not a requirement that she has to become pregnant. Islandess is
she's missing the body part. There's a difference between Akara and an islandess. There can be a lady that's an Akara. There's no body parts missing. She's just not conceiving.
Is that,
she's eligible for Yibum. The Torah said at Shetelet that the body parts have to be there. She has Simone Eilidus. That means she is not a real, I mean, hey, I'm going to say the word, she's not 100% female in the sense that she doesn't have, the Gemara says an Eilidus has a masculine voice. She's missing what makes a female, again, I'm not trying to get into politically incorrect here. She's missing parts that don't make her a complete, I'll use the word, a complete female. And a Saris, that's born a Saris, is missing parts that wouldn't make him a complete male. He sounds feminine. He doesn't develop hair. He does things that are feminine that are not masculine. That means something in the body is not performing that the boy should perform. And something is wrong inherently. Not, there are people who have one of those don't have children, but that doesn't mean there's a Saris and that she's an Eilus. It doesn't mean that. It just didn't happen.
So, is this an Eilus from Israel Shasach, though? To get an Israel Shasach?
Yeah, well, it depends if he knew or didn't know. If he knew he was marrying an Eilus, so she's his brother's wife. If he never knew, it was a Mecca Katar to begin with.
Here, if he knows that she's pregnant, there's no
even
there's no
here. End of the day, the baby wasn't viable. If Eliyahu Navi would have came in and told us that this baby's not going to live, we would have said to the lady, go right ahead and bring you. We wouldn't have said that, but theoretically we could have said that.
Okay.
That's if you learn the arguing in Svara. If you want, I can tell you they're looking at the pasuk. Rebekah and Tzavar, Ubeid Ein Loi. Torah says a guy dies without children. One of my Leslie. He doesn't have children. End of the day, he doesn't have children. What do I care if she was pregnant or not? He doesn't have children. The Torah says she's eligible for Yibum. Her husband died and didn't leave over a child. He didn't leave over a child. At the time, there might have been one. At the end of the day, he didn't have a child. So that means from the minute he died, she was eligible for Yibum. Rish Lakish Sabar, Bein Ein La'ayin Allah. The Torah said, take your time. Be careful. That means if there might be a child, wait it out. A biblical demand. Don't rush. If there might be a child, the mitzvah is not there yet. Wait it out. Ayin olav. So the child was, what did the pasuk tell me? Bottom line, he didn't have a child? Or wait to make sure that there's no mitzvah that he's having a child. That the Torah is demanding. So really, she's like not eligible yet, because the tyrant told you, wait it out. Rebecca said the tyrant never said wait it out. The tyrant said, does he or doesn't he have a child? Now the truth is that he asked the Shiloh while she was pregnant, we would have said, don't be an idiot. But now we know he didn't have a child. And Rish Lakish says, you can know all you want. The tyrant told me to wait. Ayin Aleph. Ayin Aleph tells me Ayin Aleph. Could have spelled Ayin with Ayin, spells Ayin with Ayin, to tell me Ayin Aleph. Hold it. So it's a pasuk that tells it to me. So it's a machlokes. Is it a svara or a pasuk? The nafkamina would be, if you learn it's a pasuk, and Eliyahu HaNavi would come in and tell me that this baby is not going to be viable, the shlokes might agree. We were Mayan. Eliyahu HaNavi was our way of being Mayan. He told us. If you learn the svara, Eliyahu HaNavi might tell us, but we... At this point, it might not be that yet. It might change. And therefore, at this point, we can't say there was no baby. It's an avkamina here. Because we learned it's a pasuk, it's our job to ascertain. And we all know he told us. We ascertained. The pasuk said, no heter yibum till you ascertain. And the old came to the door. He told us, we know. We can take this to the bank. According to the Svara, we're saying even if Eliyahu tells us it's going to happen, but at this point it didn't happen yet, and therefore she's not had to leave him yet. So that's the Mepharshim says in Afkamina, whether you learn it's a Svara or a Pasuk. The bottom line, at this point, and we're going to be discussing this the rest of the Amid, and into the next Amid, there's a Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue, Rabbi Yochanan says, if the baby is not viable to end, whatever happened till then was 100% valid. 100% valid. And Rish Lakish says, whatever happened till then is not valid. Either because the pasuk told us it's not valid, or because logic tells us it's not valid. Because at the time it happened, it wasn't yet a non-viable child. That is the Machloikas, Rabbi Yechonit, and Rish Lakish. Of the two, Rish Lakish is the harder one. And the reason he's the harder one, not quite him work on this, is because it ends up that he ended up with a non-viable child. He died without a viable child. But we, Rish Lakish says, at the time he did Chalitza, we didn't know that yet. In the Svara, right? It still might have been viable. So let's say he did Yibum. Would he be Ivrei Shasach? Because he didn't wait? Can't say he's Ivrei Shasach. The bottom line, he didn't leave a baby. So in Rish Lakish becomes difficult because we're saying, you're mechuyev to wait. And if you don't wait, it doesn't count as Yibum. Because the Torah said, let's go with the pasuk.
Why wouldn't he be over
Eishasach? Because nobody said, Rish Lakish doesn't say he is Ivar Eishasach. That's exactly the problem. Because the Mishnah says clearly it's only Ivar Eishasach if the baby is viable. That's the kasha on Rish Lakish. The kasha on Rish Lakish is, if the Torah told you to wait and you didn't wait, why aren't you Ivar Eishasach? And if you are Ivar Eishasach, then Baruch Moshe is going to ask me in a minute. That means at the time of death, she wasn't eligible. Because at that time, he had to wait. So this is the Rish Lakish needs a lot of explanation. I'm not going to get involved in the Achrayim raid, but this is what the Achrayim deal with in Rish Lakish. So your Rebbeinu is clear. If it's a non-viable baby, she was eligible at the moment of death. We lack knowledge. Now we have knowledge, we go back retroactive. Rish Lakish, either Mitzvara or from a Pasuk, says no. Not eligible. Not eligible. Till the baby becomes non-viable. So till that point, what is he violating? At the end of the day, it wasn't viable. At the time he did the Yibum, we didn't know. And the Torah said, I know him. So he wasn't the kind of mitzvah of Yibum. So he's Ivrei Shasach? But the Mishnah says that if the baby's not viable, he's not Ivrei Shasach. Even though he wasn't allowed to do Yibum then because it said, I know him.
Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about after the baby's missed
it. Again, at the time he lived with her. At the time he lived with her. He lived with her 2 weeks after his brother died. According to Rabbi Shlakish, he's not Mekayim Mitzvah Sibum, regardless of what the outcome will be. Even if the baby will be non-viable, he's not Mekayim Mitzvah Sibum, because the Torah said, wait. Now, the baby ends up dying. Now he's eligible for Yibum. He can go do Yibum now. But he had lived with her already. Rabbi Shlakish says that does not count as Yibum. The pasuk said, I know.
Yeah.
So, at that point, was he ever at Korach? The answer is no. The mission is clearly no. The question is, why not? If he's not eligible for Yibum, then it's Korach.
Because you can't be limited to Ayinolov here. I mean,
this is. I'm just pointing out the difficulty in Rish Lakish. The question is, whether you like the Svara, don't like the Svara, but it's very straightforward. Whatever happens, retroactively happened at the moment of death. We just didn't know. Rish Lakish is saying, we now know, but it doesn't help you retroactively, because the plastic said, I know it.
And if the baby is viable, does he get
the... Yeah, the Mishnah said, if the baby is viable, he has to bring a chatas. If he didn't have been made, he's chayv karas. That the Mishnah told us. But the baby told Mishnah told us that the baby is not viable.
No.
Yeah, and he can do Yibum. So what happens with this living together that's not Yibum? Because he had to wait, and he didn't wait.
It says the im ein vlad shel kayam.
Right.
So that's what the argument is. Is this a blood
shakayah? Again. Let me ask you a question. The baby is Eina Kayama now. Can the guy do Yibam now? Is there a question that he can do Yibam now?
The baby what?
The baby ends up not being born healthy, died, miscarried.
No, of course
he can do Yibam. According to Islam, why? He lived with her as sin. He lived with her as an Eishasach. He was Ivacarus, according to you. He didn't wait. This, again, this is what all the Achrayim deal with in this sugya. To explain Rish Lakish. How do you have that biblically he can't do Yibum till he waits it out? And yet, if he didn't wait it out, didn't get the mitzvah of Yibum, but didn't do the Yisra Eshesach. That's the difficult part. I'm not going to answer anything. I'm just pointing out.
Meaning those not enough money.
Again, you're saying the words, but now you have to make sense of them. You're right. Bein Ein Lo obviously is not enough to punish him, but it's enough to say it's not a good Yibum. This is the raid that the, if you were learning this in Yeshiva, there would be five shiurim to explain why Rish Lakish says what he says, how it works. This is the difficult part that needs it. I'm just pointing it out. Hold one second. They're just to tell me the school is closed for the girls. Okay, I know that. Okay. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Eisvei. Did we do the Rashi? No Rashi. Eitzvei Rabbi Yechon or Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon asked Rish Lakish a question. Ein avlat shel kayama. If the baby is not viable, who has to be krayv v'sehav? V'yatsuru be krayv av, upatzlam and akuna. The baby is not viable, he is usher and her relatives, she is usher and his relatives, and apostled her from kahuna. Now, if the baby is not viable, according to Rish Lakish, it's not a good chalitza. Right? He gave chalitza, and we found out she's pregnant. The baby ended up being non-viable. The Mishnah says that he can't marry her sister, right? And she can't marry his maternal brother, and she's asked to kahuna. Why? The chalitza wasn't good, according to Rish Lakish. Bishlai melididid, amina chalitza, smubar, shma chalitza. I say chalitza smuberes is a chalitza shemachi pasla. It was a good chalitza. Eli dog dama chalitza smuberes like shema chalitza. And my pasla menakuna. Why is she pasla? There was no chalitza given. It was given to her when she wasn't eligible. Amaloi midrabana lachum radam. He said, you're 100% right. Biblically, this wasn't a chalitza. But since she ends up being eligible for chalitza, and she had the act of chalitza, so people will look at her as a chalitza, so we say this is what happens. You're right. Really, she needs another chalitza. But the bottom line is, she had a chalitza, and people say, hey, she doesn't have children. So it's great. Now, they don't know all the halachas, so therefore we asked it. Rashi ben Rabbanu l'chumah, dim asked the mishra chalitza l'kuna, l'ayadi the hybrid baron. People won't know that she was pregnant, and therefore the chalitza didn't work. So we say, she had a chalitza, now, if she ends up with a child walking around, people know the chalitza wasn't a chalitza. But if she doesn't end up with a child, people say, she had chalitza. They don't know the longest that while she's pregnant, it doesn't care. They're not such a learned people. And therefore, they ask the information, we'll continue tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day and stay safe.